Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
October 9th is National what day? Do you know it?
Today?
Yeah.
October 9th is National...
It's got to be one of your worst, most hated National days. It's National Moldy Cheese Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Oh.
You don't like that blue cheese?
I thought you were going to say it's National Missouri Day
that
or
blue
something.
Cheese stinky.
National Moldy Cheese Day.
That's BBL right.
why, stinky.
Why do we need that? And Panda Awareness Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll accept that.
Panda Awareness Day?
Yeah, yeah, dude. That. Let's be aware.
Moldy Cheese Day. Let's be clear. Not all mold is created equal. Yeah. It says your friendly neighborhood cheesemonger, the guru who specializes in cheese, can guide you through this flavorful frontier. Think of them as sommeliers for dairy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But here's a quick guide to know which molds are friends and which are foes.
Yeah, I'm out.
All of them.
Yeah, I'm done, yeah. If it smells like feet, I'm out.
So you can't eat gorgonzola?
No, I'll eat that. That's okay. Fine, yeah.
It's mild.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Maytag blue? Tangy, creamy, yet crumbly. I love moldy cheese. I want all the blue cheese and a salad with balsamic vinaigrette over the
top.
Yeah,
that's good. Yes. I was thinking like bad cheese, like cheese that it's turned. You know, you open your refrigerator and you got the Kraft singles. Well, those don't turn because they're not made of anything.
I was going to say, they can stay fresh forever.
But like just like regular cheese you get at the deli counter at Hy-Vee or something like that. It's been in there for 3 weeks because we don't have any food because you didn't eat any of it.
There's blue spots all over
the
cheese.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about. Like moldy cheese day was about.
Am I an animal that if like the corner of my Pepper Jack cheese has blue, I just rip the corner off and put the cheese on the sandwich?
No, that's the way to do it. That's
okay.
Fine.
I wondered,
Well, it spreads throughout.
Have you ever had food poisoning before?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you have, right? Yeah. Have you had food poisoning before? It's awful.
Terrible.
I don't want to get food poisoning, so I'm very, like, particular about that stuff because back to that Boomer Esiason story actually about food poisoning. He was talking about, you know, somebody called up to WFAN yesterday. He's like, can we like, you know, pull the fire alarm in the hotel to get the Blue Jays up and stuff like that? And Boomer goes, actually, remember the Bo Jackson game when he blew out his hip? Well, the hotel they stayed in the night before got all the Bengals food poisoning.
Oh.
And so
I'd
never heard this story before. And Boomer's like, yeah, at 4 a.m. I've got an IV. He goes, I played for the Bengals. I'm surprised I could afford an IV. He goes, I didn't even think we had doctors on the sideline. That's how cheap they were. And so I was just kind of laughing at that because back then, like whatever that was, 1990 or whatever, they were like the going rogue at the hotel and giving like 4 stars for the Bengals came with food poisoning and they ended up losing that game.
Mm.
Where are the Lions staying?
Ask Tammy. I bet she knows. Yesterday was kind of interesting when it came to Bill Belichick news, because a lot of times we, you know, get home and, you know, you have the issue of not being able to put your phone down, and then you start going down rabbit holes of all this sort of stuff. And, you know, I'm just casually sitting there on the couch watching television, watching national media about what sports topics they're getting into, how they're, you know, finding the narrative to all of them. And then I come across Ollie Connolly, and he has this thread that at first I'm like, okay, is this parody? Is this not true? Oh, boy. Per sources, Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with North Carolina's hierarchy. Belichick has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or in media. Part one. I don't think any other team's going to take a flyer on Bill Belichick, so that's out.
But you're talking college or pro, or both?
I mean, both.
Would you, if you were an owner of an NFL team or an athletic director at a college, would you even consider Bill Belichick at this point in time?
I mean, maybe if you're the Ravens, because they've lost their defensive identity, and I think he could still hang on to that sort of narrative that he could fix a defense. But I don't know. I think he might. It might just be over.
He'd be one of the last guys I would talk to at this point in time. I think the game has passed this dude by. Clearly life has, too.
Part two. Members of Belichick's coaching staff have already spoken to other schools that are expected to be in the college football playoff about taking on roles during the postseason. From one coach, the rats are leaving the ship.
I don't blame them.
Some staffers believe a change will come within 2 weeks.
You got to take care of you in this situation, man.
Part three. Reports of a serious recruiting violation remain under investigation at UNC. Recruiting and practice violations have already been proven by the school, according to multiple sources. Part four.
Well, what do you expect when you hire a guy that had no experience?
And comes from a line of
cheating.
Right. Using a recruit violation to knock down a coach's buyout has become a standard practice. If Belichick cannot find a landing spot to trigger his own buyout, he's expected to accept a greatly reduced, compromised rate. Belichick's communication with his staff the past 2 weeks has been described as, quote, weird and, quote, distant by multiple members of UNC's coaching staff. Multiple coaches were unable to get a hold of him during the UNC's bye week. From one UNC defensive assistant, quote, what we've done to these kids is effed up.
That's the quote right there for me that really jumps out, stands out, and makes me go, it is time to make a change. When you have another coach on a staff talking about his boss and saying what we did to these kids is effed up, I feel bad for those kids. They went and signed with North Carolina thinking A, and they've been given Z. I mean, it wasn't even B. It's been an absolute disaster for Bill Belichick. And, you know, one of the stations in Charlotte the other night did a story, an expose on this thing. And I watched it. I was like, holy cow, the stuff that's going on, the divide that's in the locker room, the way that they're treating the parents. There were some illegal violations, as you mentioned. I guess they were giving parents free tickets and the parents were turning around and selling those tickets for cash. I mean, I can understand the old days when there wasn't NIL. Most of these guys are getting cash now to play college football. And so the parents don't need to be selling the tickets, but they're doing it anyway because money's money. But I just think North Carolina made a grave mistake. And sometimes in life, you have to realize, you know what? It's better to admit your mistake and get out of this situation than trying to be, I'm smarter than everybody else, and this was the right decision, and we're going to continue down this road with Bill Belichick. It's not going to get better at North Carolina. The guy doesn't know how to play the game, okay? And what I mean by the game is when you're a college coach, you're not a coach, you're an ambassador for the program, and you've got to do everything that that Bill Belichick doesn't want to do, like be nice, be friendly, kiss ass, you know, beg people for money to continue to support your program. And when the people that are supporting your program, well, that's what you have to do. I mean, you have to get that money. I mean, some school announced the other day, oh, I think it was Texas Tech, they're getting $50 million again for their NIL or something like that.
Big ones at Jayhawks on Saturday under the lights.
But you got to kiss ass for these guys to give them that money. They want to be loved up. These guys that give money are absolutely brilliant at business. They're smart. They're millionaires, billionaires. They've conquered the world. They've got all this cash. But the one thing they never really truly had, I believe, in life, which is why they do this, is that ability to be part of that team and be part of sports. And they've always liked sports, but they were never good enough to be in it. So now they write checks to be part of it. They're buying their way in. And when people are writing those big time checks as the head football coach at a university, it is more important to talk to Daddy Warbucks than it is to worry about your X's and O's. And if you're not willing to talk to Daddy Warbucks about what's going on with the program and giving him all the information he wants, you're not cut out to be a college coach. And I think that's where Bill Belichick is right now. He thinks this is the NFL, and it couldn't be any further from the NFL at the collegiate level.
I want to ask both of you this because I think this is where the oddness started, which was the Jordan Hudson situation. Somebody in the text line from the 816 says, I would hire Belichick if he broke up with the girlfriend.
I wouldn't hire him for that either, though. I saw what he was in New England without the girlfriend.
No, I'd absolutely hire him. Yeah, what he was in New England without the girlfriend. Yeah, he made the playoffs with Mac Jones.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch Bill Belichick. I think he's antiquated. I know Andy Reid is the greatest of all time. Andy Reid is one with multiple quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, he made the playoffs with Mac Jones right after that first year with Tom Brady, and then it got
11 and 6
fast.
With Matt Castle,
and then it got bad really, really fast after that. And look, there are aberrations to everything. I think Bill Belichick is a benefit of Tom Brady. He's a benefit of Lawrence Taylor. Without those guys, Bill Belichick is not even considered a football coach at this point. Nobody knows who that guy is. Two guys made Bill Belichick's career, Tom Brady and Lawrence Taylor. Without those two guys, he is complete and total ass. And being a football coach at the collegiate level, whoever made that decision to hire Bill Belichick should also probably be fired because you didn't do your due diligence on that guy and you didn't realize what you were getting. You fell in love with a name. Ooh, Bill Belichick. Let's go out and get this guy. He's going to be great for our program. He couldn't be anything worse for your program than what you have right now. A college football coach needs to be somebody that is a uniter, that brings everybody together, that understands how to play the game, almost like a politician at a collegiate university. And Bill Belichick isn't that guy.
I don't think Bill Belichick is ass. I think if we're going to take 2 years and scrutinize his entire legacy, I think that's a little much. Because I think the problem with Bill in New England, which is a problem that maybe we will see in other franchises. Maybe we're seeing one in Baltimore. The end of an era.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the defense is gone. That era is gone. That's what, you know, Harbaugh. And sometimes it's you gotta let it go. You gotta move on from that. Or maybe he, you know, again, like Max said, he took Mac Jones to the playoffs. Like he's got something. He knows what he's doing. You don't do it that long, that successful for that amount of time. I never liked the North Carolina hire. I thought that was kind of just one of those things where, like, nobody hired me in the NFL because it's not because he's a bad coach, Bob. It's because he wants total control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he can't have. And we saw why Andy Reid in Philadelphia had to go, because he had total control.
And he realized it, yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's the case. I think where Bill Belichick would be better is if it was like when Ned Yost told us in an interview, and I know we got to go to a break, and we will here shortly, but Ned Yost is like, first couple of years with my staff, I didn't trust him. I made all the decisions. And then the year they went to the World Series, and the next year, he was like, whatever you boys need to do, let me know when I need to get in the room. But I know what I think you want to do, but you guys let me know and we'll consult. The problem with Bill Belichick is ego and too much control.
Well, and there you said it. Ned wasn't like that. He was able to change because he said when he came from Milwaukee.
But before that, Ned was very egotistical.
Oh, absolutely. But also got knocked down a peg, got fired right before the playoffs and realized, okay, I've got to be more loosey-goosey, to steal a term, right? I've got to let my players have more of an impact. I've got to be more of a players-friendly manager because I've got 25 guys. I need to adjust to them. They don't need to adjust to me. I'm the old man now. This is a new generation. I need to get that figured out. Can Bill Belichick be that guy that looks in the mirror and goes, I'm the problem, like Ned did when he left Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, what was the guy's name? J.J. Hardy, that was his guy out in Milwaukee, I think. But, you know, I think that if Bill did that, where he's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to worry about the defense and I'm going to be the head coach. You go, I'll get a general manager, I'll get a president, I'll get all these sort of things. You saw how it worked with Andy. I think it could work because Andy didn't really do it in the playoffs until he got Patrick Mahomes.
That's exactly right.
So, I mean, a quarterback is a huge component, and that whole thing is there. Speaking of Andy Reid, he said something yesterday in the press conference that I loved Andy Reid saying. We'll get into it, plus Golden Locks coming up on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home. For Kansas City Sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
We
get to Alex Gold here in about 5 minutes. This comes from Mackenzie Nelson, fan of the show, and was in the roundtable last Friday as she quote tweeted Andy Reid yesterday after his press conference that he gave as they spoke for the first time for the week against the Detroit Lions. And his press conference ends, and it ends with a quote. And the quote that it ended with is simple. Andy Reid ends his presser with, "We got to score more points."
Yep.
Boy, do I love hearing that, because we sit here and we say we want more out of Harrison Butker, we want more out of Chris Jones. One thing that I can say from my group of friends, from people on the text line, from Twitter to Instagram to everything, Facebook, you name it, when are they going to keep the foot on the gas pedal?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It makes you nauseous asking that question all the time. And we want to see it, right? And Nate Taylor, who joined us earlier of ESPN, even he said, quit playing with your food.
Right, yeah.
You know, go do
it.
Was
he talking to his kid at that point?
Which one? And that's the thing about this Chiefs team that I want to see actually happen for one damn time in my life is if you're up 17-0 at halftime and you get the ball back, go do it again and continue to do it. Because as much as I fantasize about Detroit's offense with Gibbs and Montgomery and St. Brown and Williams and all these guys, they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay will do it. And I don't necessarily think in the back of Andy's mind, he's thinking, I've got to be professional. Andy Reid is by far and away the most professional head coach in the game just because of the way he carries himself. Mm-hmm. Like every team, no matter what their record is, we could play the damn Jets this weekend. He'd say, we're looking to the challenge of the Jets.
That's right.
Right? And that's, we all know they're the only thing that's a challenge in the Jets is the team, the Jets.
And which, by the way, the Broncos have the Jets this week, mm-hmm. right? And
in London.
In London. And Bo Nix just came out and said the Jets is not a trap game for them. So you have
the Jets winning?
I may be taking the Jets. I got to give it another day to think about it, but I'm starting to think I may be taking the Jets in this game. Okay. You're right about Andy Reid. The problem is Andy Reid has never done this before. Like we've talked about it for years. Andy, please go out and embarrass somebody, right? And now we're at that point, I think, with us as fans and whatnot. We need right. to see you go out and embarrass somebody. And I want them to go ahead and do that when they have the opportunity to do that. The other thing is we really haven't had that opportunity the last couple of years with the offense the way that it's been. But you know what, Dusty? We have that ability now to do that. I just saw something, you know, from one of the nerd stats out there, most points per drive. I think that's a good stat to look at. Chiefs are fifth in the NFL at points per drive, right? The Colts are number one, which Daniel Jones.
Well, that's because they have the owner on the field.
That's
with,
right.
With notes.
Well,
it's working.
How many more owners are going to start going down there taking notes and wearing headsets if the Colts end
Clark?
Up? No, you don't need to see this from the owners. I think it's ridiculous, quite honestly. And then you have Buffalo, Detroit, Dallas, you know, great offenses in the league, and the Chiefs are number five right now. So for the first time in a couple of years, Dusty, we have the opportunity to go out there and embarrass somebody, and I think they need to do that. I'm with you. Score more points. And we've been begging Andy to keep the foot on the throttle.
I don't know. Look, I understand how you could be pissed in a baseball game if you're up 9-0 and you send Kyle Isbell up there to lay down a bunt. That's kind of unsportsmanlike. But scoring points in the NFL early and often has nothing to do with the terminology of unsportsmanlike.
Not at all. How many 14-point leads dissipated this weekend in the NFL, including our own?
Right. And to me, the thing is that will show so much to this team because when they took away the deep ball and the Chiefs were able to just score points after points after points, it was fun for the quarterback. Now it seems like we've taken that fun from the quarterback and made him be professional,
mm-hmm.
right? You've gone from after hours to the morning show. You can't, you know, do the same stuff, but you can because if you don't, it's not going to be the show that we want.
Right.
Per se, Bob Fesco. Continue to be you. I know that your time slot is not 6 to 9 p.m. It's now 6 to 10 a.m., but I don't want you to change. I don't want this team to change. I want this team to go out there and absolutely obliterate people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay to score points in the NFL because everybody can score quickly. And Detroit will do that to you. And if Detroit beats the Chiefs
51-17, and they score 14 points in the fourth quarter when they already have 41 or they already had 38 on the board.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to look at it and be like, well, Detroit's just unsportsmanlike. They put up way too many points. They're going to look at it as like, man, Detroit kicked the absolute blank out of the Kansas City Chiefs this
right,
weekend.
Yeah.
There's no unsportsmanlike there's none of that.
There's not. There's no unwritten rules in the NFL, like with your baseball analogy, right? That's like, oh, that's one of the unwritten rules of baseball. We just don't
get
do
them
that.
Out. Stop
the NFL's like play defense and stop us. Yeah. Right. And Andy, that's like one of the things, like I look at Andy, I'm like, I wish you had that kind of instinct in you where you're not afraid or not afraid, but not wanting to go out there and embarrass another team unless they've pissed you off like the Bears did with the way they treated Matt, but and they went up and put 41 on them. Use that going forward as motivation to go out there and beat everybody into oblivion.
Right. Like when I went to Omaha with Alex Gold, I didn't tell him, stop getting numbers. It's embarrassing me. He didn't do that. He said, go get your own. Yeah. Go get your own. That is segue to this.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
Better believe it. We got a text that referenced Alex Gold. My girlfriend watches you guys with me, and she said you should name this segment Gorgeous Gambling Gold.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I'll take it.
I'll take it on that. I have no problem doing that.
I mean, I like it. Why wouldn't I?
Comes from good genes, don't you, kid?
That's right. Telling that in the moment of watching us.
What's going on there? I will say, it was difficult for me to run in
Look
here.
Look how he kicked back and put his leg up after that.
The leg was already up, Bob.
You're Redwood?
The leg was already up.
Alex, if you were a tree.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
What tree would you be?
I think an oak tree, Bob.
Yeah, that's where I am. Wise, strong.
An oak tree. Would
big,
be
the, girthy.
That's right. No, I struggled to get in here. I was falling down like a baby giraffe. I was trying to run in here, so it was tough for me, guys, to make my way in studio today. People snitch on every show. You guys know that? We were talking about this yesterday. Every listener, we appreciate you guys for listening all day. Like, you guys snitch on every other show. People will say, did you hear what Dusty and Bob said about you? And then I'm sure you guys get texts occasionally. Did you hear what Cody or Gold or C-Dot said about you? Yeah. So, yeah, people were snitching on you guys yesterday. Funny. I never heard the audio.
Well,
I'm like,
the
what
video's
are you talking
out
about?
There, I mean, it was. I mean, we used to call you, you know, Cody and Gump back in the day.
We were saying, though, when is it? Other than the combine, though, I won the hot dog derby. Thank you very much, Bob. You know?
But well, that's more your speed, Alex.
Yeah, you know? We saw that yesterday. Multiple people were texting. We're like, what are they talking about? We never found the audio or whatever. But
all we said was, Nathan said he's the slowest man on earth. And I said, do you think you could beat Gold in a 40-yard dash? And he said, no.
I honestly think between him, me, you, it would all be very close. Like, I don't think you'd win running away. And I don't think I would either.
I wasn't in the conversation. You just put me in the conversation.
No, the text line said you. No.
Nathan said he was on the slowest guy at the station.
I had nothing to do with it.
The text line tries to stir the pot.
Yeah, well, you know, they lie. The text line sometimes can be a
chode.
Yeah. So you never can believe everything they say.
That's exactly right. They take one thing and take it out of context. It happens a lot these days.
No, I never said I would beat you in a race. Yeah. I just said Nathan, because Nathan's baseball coach from Little League, and he said Nathan would turn doubles into singles.
Right.
And he's like, dude, I'm the slowest person on earth. And I was like, well, Gold's not very fast. Do you think you'd be Gold in a race?
Definitely not.
And that was it. And he said, no, absolutely not. And then he's like, well, we used to call Cody and Gold Cody and Gump.
Yeah, because it was I'm Alex Gump. And I mean, because you ran like Forrest Gump breaking out of those braces at the combine.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not a good showing.
Hey, we all have those moments.
But then I won the hot dog derby. You know, that's all I got to say. We got another person on my show that's 0-4. So,
anyway. I'm 0-1, but I didn't realize we were starting. And I was like, oh. And I didn't realize like how hard it was going to be to run in that thing.
You took a shower right after.
I know.
It was August.
It was great. It was nasty. Do you smell those hot dogs?
Wow. Oh, so
he was like ketchup number 48.
That was back when I could still smell. And yes, by July, the suit's terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah. I'm surprised you got in that wiener.
Look, man, sometimes you take one for the team, right?
I guess so.
Men's wieners.
I really want to talk to you about KU and Texas Tech this weekend.
Okay, let's do it.
14.5 for
the
Texas
Tech. The one game
Tech?
He didn't tell us about.
I know. That's why I brought it. Then we'll get into the slate.
14.5.
I thought about it last night on the show.
Yeah, how'd that go? First one of the season?
Yeah, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock.
So you're back.
That betting show is back.
Which one?
We'll be doing that. That one, Bob. That one. Yeah, look, it's a large spread. I think Kansas's offense will be able to at least put up enough points where they can stay within two touchdowns. They're not going to win this football game. Texas Tech, truly the best roster money can buy. And all the money that they added to NIL, it's paying off for them. I think they are co-favorites. I haven't looked at the Big 12 odds, honestly. At one point, I think they were. Maybe they still are. No, and then Iowa State at one point was. Iowa State lost to Cincinnati, who looks better than people
it's
thought.
Not a bad loss now.
Suddenly, Cincinnati lost
does not
it looks
bad,
a little different
right?
now. Yeah. It does. It does.
You lost to one of the better teams in the SEC, and you lost to maybe one of the better teams in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think they can. I think they can. If Hang is just covering 14.5, I think Kansas can do that.
Are they out of the national championship conversation?
Kansas. You say that, Bob. So the Big 12 convo is the one that's still real.
Yeah.
If Kansas, I mean, seriously, I don't think it's going to happen. But if Kansas were to beat Texas Tech, they would absolutely still have a shot at getting a path to the Big 12 title game. I know that people will laugh at that, but that
Why?
Is the reality. If they win, I don't think they're going to beat Texas Tech, though. I think Texas Tech is the real deal. But 14.5, the offense and the creativity that they have is that they will be able to score. I don't think they can stop.
That's
Texas
the thing.
Tech
they can't stop
all.
Anybody.
That defense is awful.
So we're betting the over.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the total is, but yeah.
75.
My guess is it's 60-something, Bob. Yeah, it's probably a very, very high total. It is actually, I don't know if it's the highest, third highest of the week, something like that. It is sitting at 58.5.
Oh, wow.
So it's actually lower. The Alabama-Missouri game, just for context, the total for that's 51.5. So
that's kind of low.
Not terribly far off.
Yeah, that's kind of low.
I do like, if while we're on college football, though, real quick, I would say then, I do think Alabama can cover. Missouri still has a path, whether they win or lose, to getting to the college football playoff. Remember, they have some wiggle room with the schedule down the stretch. If they beat Alabama, then to me, I think they are going to the college football playoff, because at that point, you start looking, even if they were to drop one later on to Oklahoma, it steps up nicely. I just think this is a big step up in competition for Missouri in this spot. Alabama's already played in a hostile road environment, as we all know, a week or two ago against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Bama will be able to get their wide receivers, not just Ryan Williams, but Bernard, who's actually the better receiver. I know Ryan Williams is the kid everybody talks about because he's like 18 years old or whatever. But they will be able to exploit that Missouri defense, and so I think they'll cover the 3.5.
You do think they'll be able to, because Missouri is one of the best defenses in the nation, right? I think I saw something yesterday. They're the only school in America that has a top four offense and a top five defense, or top four defense, top four offense. How much of that, though, is based on you did play UMass like three times already this year?
Some of it is slanted to that. Now, overall, now they're going to start paying for it with the opponents, but overall, their schedule, before the season started, everybody was like, oh, their schedule's pretty easy. They actually do have one of the tougher schedules in the country. It's just now the rest of the season is when it's going to kick in. Remember, they haven't had a road game yet.
That's true. They have not left Columbia.
But if they find a way to beat Alabama, to me, they're going to the college football playoff.
So tonight, we like Saquon Barkley a lot.
Yeah, so two bets that I like in the Thursday night game, Eagles, Giants. Eagles are 7.5-point favorites, the total at 40.5. I'm going to stay away from the spread. Short week, divisional game. I'm not laying 7.5 with Philly. I do think they win. I'm not saying that they won't win. I just don't think they can cover, at least not confident enough to put money. But Saquon Barkley over 84.5 rushing yards. You and I were talking before the show. That is the bet that I like tonight. Giants 29th in yards per attempt given up. Saquon is off to a slower start, certainly, than last year on a historical season. He's only averaging 54 yards per game.
This is what Saquon Barkley does.
This is a game where I think, after coming off a loss, it's a short week. Lean in on the running game and that offensive line that you have. And then the Giants just defensively and with where they play on these night games. We brought this up when the Chiefs played them 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. The Giants are 2-20, just outright winners in night games, and 1-12 at MetLife. So they just don't perform well in night games, period.
Well, they don't just perform well, period. Well, I mean, so, yeah. But it's interesting for me, and I don't know how you factor this into the betting world, but I would look at the number for Barkley tonight, and I would hammer the over, because they didn't run last week. They've been criticized all week. They had a players-only meeting that lasted a couple of hours. Like, stuff like that I look at, and I think, okay, I can kind of read the room. I've been around for a while. I've seen this before. I expect Saquon Barkley to have a pretty big night. How often do you factor all of that kind of stuff in?
Yeah, I mean, narrative is stuff. Like, you don't want to lean in it too much. I think a divisional game also on a Thursday changes it just a little bit. We've talked a lot about the Thursday games. I also think, though, based on how close or low scoring, I should say, the game, I believe, will be, that to me also leads you to running the football more. It's why even on like the other side, Jackson Dart last night on that betting show, we were talking about his pass attempts, and someone was like, they liked his over. And I'm like, yeah, I,
versus rushing, you know.
30 and a half for passing attempts for Dart.
Yeah, and I think the only way he gets there, though, is if they're getting blown out. If it's a, you know, if it's a low-scoring game, even if it doesn't feel like they're in it, then to me, they're not going to get to the, you know, got 41 pass attempts last week, Jackson Dart did. Well, that they had multiple turnovers late in the game, and they got behind, and they just started throwing like crazy. So I think the under overall for the game is another bet. Those are the two bets I like. Saquon over, and then under 40.5. It opened at 42.5 for this game. The Eagles, pace of play and all that kind of nerdy metric stuff, 17th, and the Giants are an EPA per play, fifth worst in the league. So this, to me, will be a lower scoring game, even though the Eagles, if they're going to cover, it's going to have to be with a late touchdown or something. I don't like the cover, but this probably won't be the most exciting Thursday night game.
What about Chiefs? How are they a 2.5-point favorite this week and a 2.5-point dog 2 weeks ago to Baltimore?
Yeah, so, well, a couple things. I think people are nationally at least admitting, even if they're still not talking about the Chiefs being the same, they're all admitting that the offense is heading in the right direction. I mean, you're even seeing more and more of that narrative. Everybody understanding that, like, oh, yeah, they don't have Rice back, and yet the offense was not the problem.
No.
You know, yes, Mahomes threw a pick six, okay? He's not going to throw a bunch of those, all right? I don't know. He's probably only thrown, like, three in his entire career, or two in his entire career. I don't know what the number is on that. So it's the fact that the game's at home. You get 1.5, 1.7 points for being a home team these days. It's not three anymore. So that factors in here. And then the Lions have injuries. I know you guys probably have hit on that with their secondary. Yep. So you got a Chiefs offense playing better. You've got multiple corners out for the Detroit Lions. So I do like Kansas City in this spot. And yes, someone will text in and say, you like Kansas City last week? Yes, I did. Yes, I did like Kansas City last week.
They were in well control of that game.
They should have won that football game. So yeah, Chiefs minus 2.5. If you were lucky enough on Monday late after the Chiefs game, you could have got them at minus 1. It's still under the key number, but obviously that'd be the better one. Basically, you're just about to pick them at that point in time. So, yeah, I like the over in the game, 52.5, and I like the Chiefs to win. The Lions average 34.8 points per game. The Chiefs, typically, it's weird, when they go up against an offense that averages over 30, they raise the bar as well. So there's a trend since 2023. If Mahomes goes up against an opponent that scores 30-plus points per game, that's happened 5 times since 2023. They're 5-0 in those games, the Chiefs are, and they win by an average of 9.5 points.
Wow.
So, you know, if you believe in this theory, like, all right, they know they got to bring their A game because that offense is going to put up points. Mm-hmm. There is something to that. Mahomes usually, their better performances come against an opponent where they know they got to score.
Huh.
And I think some of that goes to the conversation that we're going to have on our show to begin the early hour, and that is the aggressiveness part. I think Andy Reid will be more aggressive in this game because he respects the Lions and what they can do offensively. Sometimes I feel like he'll play an opponent and his aggressiveness completely shifts week to week.
Yeah, we were just kind of talking about that before you came in. He said he wants to score more, and we've been saying that for years. But now you have the offense that's capable of doing it, right? I mean, you've got the offense that's capable of going out there and scoring. New England and New Orleans this weekend. You love that game.
Yeah, I do. And we all saw what happened last Sunday night. New England, impressive win. They go into Orchard Park, get the victory. And on one hand, you might say, okay, well, is this kind of a trap? They're playing the Saints on the road. They're feeling themselves a little bit and all that. Patriots are 3.5-point favorites. So yes, we are talking about the hook there, which always scares people. It's a past the key number. I think the Patriots are for real, though, guys. I really do. I think Drake May, if you look at some of the numbers behind his second year and you compare it to other second year quarterbacks, he's on par the beginning of his second year, which it gets complicated because we all know Mahomes didn't start his rookie year. So technically his second year was his first year. You really follow me on that one?
Yep.
His numbers are very similar to Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes. Point is, he's playing very, very well in year two as a starting quarterback in the league. And Mike Vrabel, I think, is starting to get his identity across to that team as well. And they are playing with a ton of confidence. And the Saints getting a win last week makes me feel even better about this bet. This isn't a Saints team that's like so desperate for a win. Now, they got their first win, and they're still not any good. They're not any good. I like the Patriots to go down there and win comfortably. That'll be one I'm submitting for our Circa Millions, where after the 0-5 start, Bob, we're now in the top 100 of the Circa contest.
Nice. That is fantastic.
Everybody's hot right now.
No, so no. You get $1 million if you win this thing?
If you win it, it's like $6 million or something. It breaks it down by quarter.
Are you in the winning money?
Currently, if we were to end today, we would tie for 98th. With way too many people, so we would get a very, very small.
But you'd still get something.
Yeah, very, very small. What I want to convince everybody, if we have another 4-1 or 5-0 week and we get to where we're tied for like 20th, which if we go 5-0, we probably would be, because we're only two picks away from if everybody can do the same thing, but if we would have had two more, right, if we would have gone 2-3 in week 1 instead of 0-5, we'd be tied for 30th right now. So we're not that far off.
Yeah. If we do that, you're like the Chiefs right now.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. You can sell equity in your, there's a marketplace, you can sell equity in your thing. So if we get, you know, we own 100% of the entry right now. Each one of us technically accounts for like 16% of the entry. We all chipped in. And we could, if we get to a point where we're high enough, we could sell 25%
sell
25% of the entry, Dusty. And if I told everybody to just get ready to get their entry money back, would everybody be for that? I don't know. Like we could sell 25%.
How much was the entry?
$1,000.
So
each person's only in like 200.
Okay. So, but you would sell 25. So that's $250 roughly, you know?
Yeah.
Net positive. Buffalo
blowing
out. Buffalo blows out Atlanta?
No.
Okay.
No. I actually like Atlanta to cover. They're the home team here. Mm-hmm. The latest number, unless it moved last night, was 4.5. The Bills, 4 favorites. I think the Bills' defense keeps teams in the game.
I do, too. I hate their defense.
Bijan Robinson, I think he's going to run all over them. I don't, I mean, it's also one of those I'm keeping an eye on for, like, do I sprinkle a little money line parlay or money line bet on the Falcons to upset the Bills outright? I haven't got there yet, but I think they can cover because the Bills' defense keeps teams in games. Bijan, to me, will have a huge day. This is not about Josh Allen. He's going to do his thing. It's more about the Bills' defense. They go on the road, and so I kind of like this. That's one of the doubleheader Monday night games, I believe.
Thank God we got two of those this week.
Do you like the you like the doubleheaders?
Come on.
For you, well, you guys don't because you got to go to bed early.
It ruins Sundays, man. We're ruining Sunday.
Well, it definitely
hurts
red
zone. The noon and three windows. We're ruining that by constantly putting more games in different spots, man.
I'll give you that. I think it hurts red zone and the ability for that. And now we're also in the time where we get all these international games too. So you're losing you got an 8:30 game and you have two Monday night games. So I hear what you're saying.
Bastardizes Sunday afternoon, you know?
It does. When the Chiefs play Sunday night football, I love it though because red zone all day.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's my favorite thing.
I'll take a noon game every day.
Well, you get
back.
One next week.
I know.
Raiders,
can't wait.
Noon.
Full
you're
tailgate.
Going, so you
let's
love that.
Go. Bust it up, Ralph.
Yeah.
Bob's got the Jets beating the Broncos this weekend.
I don't have that yet. I'm getting closer. But
what's the thought process?
Well, first of all, the Jets are 0-5 right now.
Yes,
and
I just takeaways.
Right. And I just saw the Broncos sit there and say, Bo Nix, oh, this isn't a trap game. And I'm like, oh, God.
Coming off a huge win,
smelling their armpits, flying to London.
It would be funny.
It's the Jets who are 0-5. It's got everything set up to be just like I thought with the Giants and Chargers 2 weeks ago. I'm kind of getting that vibe right now.
Broncos 7-point favorites, Bob. So you the Jets plus 7 at least then.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a game. I do.
If you like them to win outright, plus 315.
I'm not there yet, but maybe by tomorrow, maybe by Saturday. I got to hear more what's coming out of this Denver Bronco team. But seeing that this is not a trap game, oh, brother, it is.
Other than equity in your thing, what do you got coming up today on Cody and Gold?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that aggressiveness that we were just mentioning. And I think it's kind of interesting. And also Shamari Connor, and he's getting a lot of heat this week for his performance. And I put some of this on the coaching staff. We'll dive into some of the numbers there. I think they're asking him to do a little too much. We'll kind of get into that because there's some bad comps from prior Chiefs players that are popping up with Shamari Connor that has people nervous.
People want to know where they can find the betting show. Is it on the Odyssey app?
It is on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts as well. You can subscribe. That betting show is Wednesday nights, 6:00 right here.
All right, buddy. We appreciate
Thanks, guys.
It. Thank you for the Golden Lux. That's Alex Gold. Catch him in about 15 minutes with Cody and Drew from 10 to 2 coming up. We wrap this show up on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Kansas City, this is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Segment here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggins, Al Hole with you.
Can I read you a stat from baseball, Dusty?
Sure.
Dustman. Aaron Judge is the second player in Major League Baseball history to bat 600 or better in a postseason series while having multiple hits in every game. The other was Babe Ruth.
That's right.
And people are going to sit around and criticize Aaron Judge. He actually did his part. The other guys did not.
Yeah. It's tough. Kansas City would be a hell of a place to play right field.
It would be, Aaron. If you want to come here, man. JJ, let's go, man.
And 99's available.
It is. Yeah, we can give him that number.
because we have 99 problems all on the hitting. Pitching ain't one.
No, pitching is not. It's not.
To be fair. So wrapping the show up full circle, the two things I think we hit on the most today is, can this team score points, right? Andy Reid said, we want to score points. We want to score. We want to do that, right? And the other thing that we hit on was the biggest problem with this team is defensive line pressure and just being a unit on the defensive line to be noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Here is from the 33rd team, week 5 pass protection rankings. And this graphic explains everything that we talked about today. Number 1 in the NFL in week 5 from the 28 teams that participated in pass protection rankings, our number 1 is,
I'm going to say, the Chiefs.
It is the Kansas City Chiefs.
They were great.
You'll want to guess who's dead last?
Detroit.
Absolutely.
Their line sucks right now.
So
Ragnow's not walking through that door.
Nope.
So 6-7, when you look at the offensive line protection, mm-hmm. when you give Mahomes time to throw and he can do it, you can score points.
Absolutely.
And if you ever had a moment where you wanted to see this D-line wake up to the advantage it could, Detroit's 28th when it came to week 5 pass protection.
That's terrible.
So it is both.
Right.
Go out there and put up points with the protection that you have that is continuing more and more to gel. Like, again, I think when they get Rashee Rice back, they may not lose again. Hot take.
No, I don't think that's a hot take at all. I'm on that.
I think they could lose this week. Yep. But what if I told you the Chiefs will lose this week, but they never lose again?
Well, I'd sign up for that right now.
Everybody. Yeah, would, right?
Because if you lose this week, you're 4 losses, right?
Right.
And you're 2-4 and you win out, you're 13-4.
Right. You'd win the number one. You might get the one seed because you would beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
You're winning the division.
100%.
Oh, yeah, because sure. You would leave those losers in the dust.
Yes. Right. So ultimate protection, not protection. Defensive line is an issue. Now you have a wounded duck. You also have the strongest duck in the pond when it comes to the offensive line, according to last week's pressure rate.
So that is outstanding. I love that. We talked about that the other day. I said, I think that Detroit line stinks. Like, we can get healthy against that Detroit
and you saw
know,
their
offensive line
yesterday. DNP, DNP, DNP,
it
DNP.
It was as long as you'd ever seen.
Now,
right?
Ours had a full participant as a walkthrough, so right. let's
but also,
soften
too,
up a little bit.
They're also damaged in the secondary. Like, we can take advantage of that this week. Like, if you get the pass protection going on, right, like the Chiefs have been doing the last 10 quarters, and they've got, you know, Lou Gotts from East Toenail State and his cousin playing in the defensive backfield because everybody else is wounded, you're giving Patrick Mahomes time to pick apart at best the second secondary that Detroit could offer you. That's not their best secondary. It's their second level of secondary. So now you're saying Patrick Mahomes has an opportunity to stand behind the line that's given him time and pick apart a secondary that, for all intents and purposes, the best that this secondary would be ranked in the NFL would be 33, because they're not one of the best 32 because it's all backups playing. How do you not like our chances offensively in this one?
And if you ever wanted a get-right game for Chris Jones, this is it.
This is an opportunity, dude.
Do it.
And if he goes out there and wrecks it, people will love him on Monday.
This is from PFSN on X. The highest graded defensive tackles in the NFL, according to our DT Impact metric, Jeffrey Simmons, number 1, 91.0. DeForest Buckner for the Colts, 88.4.
Yeah, Jones is 3, yeah.
Yep.
I saw that too. I'm stunned by that.
And Chris Jones is 3rd at 87.8. So Mac,
but see, this is where stats are foolish, you know, because what has Chris Jones done this year that makes any of that make sense? Nothing. I need the big plays. I need the sacks. I need the moments. You're that guy. I don't need the fallacy of those stats. I saw that. I'm like, well, I don't have a moment from Chris Jones in my mind other than him standing around.
He stopped a couple runs and stepped up some stuff. And yeah, you're looking for
the batted pass, yes, the sack.
Yeah,
that's
why you get paid the big bucks, though. You know,
yep.
You were in the conversation, defensive player of the year, second best to Aaron Donald, all this kind of stuff. Well, you need to play that way.
From the text line, to wrap up the show with a comical routine, if Aaron Judge wants to come to Kansas City, tell him he can have number 20. And gun.
And so here's the funny thing about that. Aaron Judge could legitimately lift that Frank White statue by himself and throw it into the Missouri River. We wouldn't need to hire anybody else to do that. Aaron Judge would rip that thing out and just toss it in the river. BBL stinky.
Frank White.
Chode.
Go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. You could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To care. Kansas
I think today's
City.
His last day.
Yesterday was.
Did they have video of him walking out of the office he never went to?
Nope. They sure didn't. But you can do that. Go be nice. Be kind. Be groovy. Kansas City, stay kind. Stay safe. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Red Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.